for lots of New Zealanders, KiwiSavers or our KiwiSaver funds are among the biggest assets we own. So how do you make sure that the funds we invest our money in are investing in socially conscious companies? John Berry has started up a new fund. It's called CareSaver. It aims to do just that. He joins me on the line now. Hi there, John.
Hi there, Jesse.
Nice to talk to you. What makes your fund different?
Look, we're different because of our strong focus on ethical investing and our social enterprise approach to partnering with a number of great charities around New Zealand. But look, if I explain on the ethical side how we're different, the focus typically in New Zealand is on exclusion. So what am I not going to have in my portfolio? Mm. I don't want to have controversial weapons or tobacco or gambling. To us, that's important, but it's also quite a negative approach to investing. You're not going to change the world by just avoiding companies. So we try and take a very positive approach. We're also focused on the environmental, social and governance factors around companies. We're focused on animal welfare, we're focused on human rights, we're focused on climate change. And so we're positively trying to invest in companies that score highly on all of those metrics.
Is there much of that sort of fund out there in New Zealand?
Ethical funds? Well, ethical funds
the
are
positively, the positively proactive funds, the ones you're talking about.
No, look, I don't think there is. I think the approach we're taking is actually quite unique. There are a lot of ethical funds in New Zealand, but it's really the exclusion basis. We're just trying to take things to the next level.
Yeah. What sorts of things would you invest in?
What would we invest in? Look, a lot of companies that are household names that people will be familiar with, we will be investing in. Large US corporations, number of New Zealand companies. But there's also some names that really surprise people when we look at, for example, animal welfare. Volkswagen is a great example. Everyone knows Volkswagen for the Dieselgate a couple of years ago. But we're not invested in them for that, and also because a year ago they had a major scandal around animal testing where they were testing exhaust fumes from cars on live monkeys in sealed containers. And to us, it's just completely unacceptable for a large corporation. So they're not one of the companies we're investing in.
Tell me about the initiative with female directorships.
Great, yeah. So around female directorships, we're kind of surprised that females make up over half the population in New Zealand. But when we look at our companies, listed companies, we're an outlier. And 18% of New Zealand listed companies do not have a single female on the board, which if you look at other OECD countries, we are an outlier. In the US, it's in Australia, it's sort of 3 or 4%. And some countries in the UK and France and Finland and Italy, every company, the listed company, has at least one female director. And so we're just asking companies in New Zealand, if we can invest in them, why do you not have a female director? And then maybe they can justify it. There's one company, for example, Pushpay, we really like as an investment. Our portfolio managers have met with them and talked about it with them, and they said, yes, we're actively looking for a female director. But we recognise, as all the New Zealand companies do, that appointment has to be on merit, so they've got to find the right person. But for us, it's really important that...
Won't that always be an excuse, John?
Merit?
Aren't you letting them get away with a bit there?
If they're actively in the process of looking, which we know they are, and they value the importance of diversity and recognise the importance of diversity of views. For us, diversity of views is really important because not for tokenism or any simple reason like that. It's because for a company, you need different views to be around the boardroom table challenging the future of the company and looking at the risks and opportunities. So for us, that diversity of views is absolutely critical.
So the other thing I have to ask you is, how much research are you having to do to pick what you invest in? It sounds quite labour-intensive, and labour-intensiveness tends to be reflected in fees.
So two parts to your question there. Firstly, how do we research the companies? And secondly, what are we charging investors? So in terms of how do we research the companies, yes, incredibly labour-intensive. We handpick every company we invest in. We've partnered with a company called Sustainalytics. They're a Dutch company. They are one of the leaders in the world on environmental and social research for listed companies around the world. So we work with them on as part of our process. We also have an environmental scientist on our team. So if we want to do a deep dive into any particular company or any particular issue, we can do that internally with our own resource. So that's the first issue is, yes, very, very research-intensive process. And the second part around fees, great question. Fees are really, really important for the long-term outcome for investors. What we have done has just looked at the market. We've said, okay, we're an active manager. We're probably entitled to charge more, but we want to be fair to investors. We're taking the average across all passive and active funds in New Zealand, and that is what our fee is. We will charge the average. If the average comes down over time, we will also lower our fee with the average.
What is the average at the moment? I've just been trying to find it on Google as you talk, and it's very hard to find.
Yeah, look, it's hard to find. There's various sources.
I've got 0.65 in my head, but go on, tell me.
So the average for a growth fund is 1.25%, balance fund 1.1%, and conservative funds 0.8%.
Okay.
Those are the fees we're charging, and that's where the average is in the market.
Do you think you'll make a difference?
Yeah, look, I think we will make a difference. The thing I'm really excited about with our KiwiSaver, as well as the ethical overlay to the way we're investing, is the partnerships that we have with charities. And we're hoping for New Zealanders. There's so many New Zealanders disengaged with their KiwiSaver, sitting in bank default funds, and they may have been there for years. They need a reason to engage with their KiwiSaver. So what we've done is partnered with 17 awesome charities doing fantastic work for communities and environment in New Zealand, and we're going to be giving 20% of our management fees. So 20% of any fees paid to us will go to a charity, and the individual investors will be able to choose which charity their share of the 20% goes to. So there is no other KiwiSaver or superannuation fund in New Zealand that is doing that, and indeed we haven't been able to find an example anywhere in the world of another scheme run the same as that, where the individual investors are empowered to decide where the manager will make a donation.
Might the reason no one else is doing it be because most people, when they invest, just want to get all of the money themselves rather than giving it away to charity? That's quite a cynical question, but I had to ask you.
Great point. But to be fair, we're charging the average fee in the market.
Yeah.
So it's actually our profit that's going to be hit. It's actually a donation from our business, Pathfinder, to the individual charities. It's not a charge on the investors. So we can either charge the average fee and take that as profit, but we are actually going for a social enterprise approach where we're saying we want New Zealand communities and the environment to benefit from KiwiSaver as well.
What's your background?
What's my background? Originally a lawyer, and I've worked in offshore in Australia and in the UK in banking. But I suppose the thing that really triggered my interest around the charities is I've been on the board of the Men's Health Trust for several years, and the thing we struggle with, which is the same of all charities in New Zealand, is just funding. And it's actually consistent, long-term, sustainable funding that is not tagged to a particular purpose is critical for charities, just to pay the overhead and the salaries of the staff. And sort of that going on in the back of my mind, along with wanting to build a ethical KiwiSaver, the idea popped out of, we can marry these two together, it can be great for New Zealand charities as well as for savers.
Is it hard to set up a KiwiSaver fund?
Is it hard? It's taken a lot. I mean, we've got a great team here, and they've absolutely put in a huge, huge effort to get this built. Yes, incredibly hard, incredibly hard, especially when we're trying to do something really different as well.
Yeah, congratulations. Difference is great. People can choose whether they like it or not, but it's awesome to have this available. So well done.
Thank you.
What's your target? How many people do you think you're going to get investing with you, or what sort of funds under management?
Look, that's a really tough one to answer. KiwiSaver is over $50 billion, so it's a really large savings pool. It's obviously growing every year. What we're doing is just giving another option for investors.
I mean, how many people do you need to sign up to make it work for you?
How many people do I need to sign up? Quite a few. Well, we think we'll get there within a couple of years for where we want to be, and we're just going to do our job and focus on making money for investors, focus on doing good things for the charities we're working with.
Out of interest, when you looked around at these Kiwi companies for the ones that had a woman on their board, what was the results? How were you surprised by what you saw?
If you look at New Zealand's top 50, you'll find most of them have women on the board, and there's three that don't. It's a lot of the less mature or smaller companies that have no directors, no female directors.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some great companies in there, and our portfolio managers visited Tourism Holdings recently, and their CEO has a great focus on environmental and social issues and long-term planning around that. And, you know, they also have four females on the board, so great diversity there.
18% of New Zealand-listed companies have no women on their board. That compares to 2.6% in the US, 4.4% in Australia, and then some countries where every listed company has at least one female board member. Hey, John, great to meet you. Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And I better help you out here if people are listening and thinking, oh, I want to support this guy. The fund is called CareSaver, and I just guess they just Google you, do they?
Yeah, caresaver.co.nz or ring 0800 Ethical.
Good man. Okay, nice to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Jim.